For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This hour is brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago.
So just to talk about your performance in terms of efficiency, why did you think you had success yesterday?
One, preparation. Mm-hmm. Two, confidence in it.
Right.
And I think three, just playing within the game.
That was the opening scene of the most recent episode of Hard Knocks. Caleb Williams in the office of his head coach, Matt Eberflus, getting a bit of a debriefing. And that is it for his preseason. So what you have seen is what you are going to see. And the next time you see him, it will be live and real and counting.
Live and direct. That's what you're going to get. But you still have to wait a long time. I saw Kevin, not Kevin Warren, our Kevin.
Kevin, not Kevin, there's Kevin Lapka, and there's Kevin Cassidy.
Kevin Cassidy.
Okay, because
I never called Lapka Kevin, ever. Right. Really? Everyone just calls him Lapka.
Okay, but his name's Kevin.
Yeah, but we all call him Lapka. Okay. Or I actually call him Flight, but because he can jump.
I saw that man dunk at the United Center.
Yeah.
You see the infamous Danny Parkins game.
You see the videos he was sharing on Instagram of him rounding third and headed for home?
Yeah. He's a very talented young man. Also with like work stuff, not just athletic stuff. But anyway, I saw our Kevin and he was like, isn't it weird that there's all this time between... So yeah, it's going to be 22 days between... the last time people saw Caleb Williams play quarterback and the next time they'll see him play quarterback. I mean, there'll be stuff from practice. There'll be footage that people will see. You know, Deion Miller will have it for you on Channel 7 and stuff. But as far as...
Won't Layla have it on Channel 5?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. But, you know, I like to, you know, represent these all our people.
Okay.
But you won't get to see him play in a game. And... that's weird. It's very strange to one, you probably shouldn't come to any sort of conclusion based upon preseason football, because we know how different things look when teams are game planning against you. But it's still a long time. Like, luckily there's some stuff in the way of it. But think about it. You will have experienced, if you're a football like junkie, you will experience 3 weeks of college football before you see Caleb Williams play again.
Yeah, that's crazy to think about it that way. Because that feels like an eternity.
Yes.
3 weeks, three full weeks of college football.
Well, not full. I mean, week zero wasn't full. But
like, remember where we were in week three of last year? It's like, oh my God, Colorado. These are the best players of all time. Yes. Oh, what happened? Well, they were bad.
They ended up being bad. And now Deion's fighting everybody.
Turned out that them being a TCU team that lost a bunch of players from the season before was not like this great win for them?
I think it was a great win for them. But I think it again is one of those things of you have to think of things in context. Like the idea of Colorado being back after a one-win season the season before, you just kind of have to go, why don't we wait?
That's it. You don't get to ask questions of Deion at the press conference. Now.
I don't.
Oh,
no.
Darn.
That's it. I haven't made it personal. No. That's what he said his rubric was for the columnist, is that the columnist made multiple personal attacks.
Snowflake.
I just don't think that Colorado's very good. I think that Shador's really good, and I think that Travis is really, really good. But it takes a while to rebuild a program, and it's just going to – I hope that he has the patience for it.
All right, well, this is next segment.
Oh.
When Pete Futek joins us. But for this segment, we're talking
He's all in on Deion.
On Caleb Williams. We're talking about the Chicago Bears. And we have the opinions of a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, a former Bears quarterback, and a coach who's also the son of a former Bears offensive coordinator.
Yes, and if you're like, I don't know what that means. Sean King and Jim Miller and Nate Tice. Here's the thing. We played a portion of the Sean King back on Friday because people were like, they were clutching some pearls when they heard him. But here's what I want to do, okay? Because in us talking to Nate Tice, I felt like they were saying similar things. It's just Nate put it in a nicer box for us with a bow on it. And Sean was just like, this is it. Here's your steak. Eat your steak. So why don't we hear from Nate first, okay? This is how Nate has seen, what he's seen from Caleb Williams, what the things he's looking for, and what he expects.
He has the tools, and he has more polish, and we've seen this in the preseason, even with the crazy, you know, cool out of structure plays. He's a lot more polished than people have realized and a lot more advanced mentally. And I think that's what is going to let him be, at the very least, average starter as a rookie quarterback, which is all you hope for out of a rookie quarterback, because it's really hard. I think there's going to be moments of brilliance, but it's a rookie quarterback. So there's going to be some rough stretches because he's going to try some stuff. You know, he's working on the fumble stuff, and I could see his mechanics and his fundamentals like already improved. But there's going to be ups and downs. I think you're going to see the moments of good this year, even if it's maybe not all the way consistent every week, every game, every series that you see every quarter. It would look a lot, I think, like Kyler Murray's rookie year, which was, you know, good. And like you're like, okay, this is a guy we could work with. I think Caleb's a better player or can be a better player. I think the greatness is moments, and it happens more sustainably, like year two, year three, year four. It's really hard to expect anyone to be great. I mean, after Justin Herbert's rookie year, everyone was like, oh yeah, he's great, he's amazing. And now people are still arguing whether he's even good. So it's just all about sustainability, what we see year in, year out. And I think Caleb can show that during his career, but there might be some stretches this year when he tries maybe a little too much, like every rookie quarterback does.
Exactly.
That's not inflammatory.
No, but we'll get to that. But if you were wondering for a comparison, well, what was Kyler Murray's rookie season like? And let me tell you something. If he gives you this, you're really happy. I think you're really happy. Kyler Murray, his rookie season, played all 16 games, completed 64% of his passes, for 3,722 yards, 20 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. He was sacked 48 times, but he was offensive rookie of the year that year. 3,700 yards. Think of where that would put Caleb's season in the all-time list of Bears quarterback season. It'd be what, number two, number three? Like all time. So if you were looking for a comparison, I think that's a pretty good one by Nate. Now, here's the thing. This is where I need you to do active listening. Because Nate did it. He brought out the linen tablecloth. He brought out the sterling silverware. He poured you a nice glass of Chianti. Then he presented his argument about Caleb in a way that I think is very digestible. Sean, he took you through the drive-thru and said, look, we hungry. You're going to enjoy this meal. I'm telling you, you're going to enjoy it. But maybe it's not as pretty as you thought.
Jaden Daniels rate higher than him doesn't mean I don't like Caleb Williams. But I think he needs to be coached really hard about seeing the field. I don't think he sees the field consistently. If you just watch him and you stop being a fan for a second when you watch him and start being really critical of what he does the first 2 seconds after the ball is snapped, it never really seems like he's able to diagnose what the defense is doing, make a decision where to throw the ball, anticipate where the ball should go, and let it loose. And I'm not saying he can't get to that. I'm just saying right now, as we said in August of 2024, if I'm watching from a distance, if I'm looking at all the USC film, if I'm looking at what I've seen so far in the preseason, for some reason it doesn't happen like that. He's much more comfortable kind of pump faking to the right, doing a silhouette, making a guy miss, start stopping, then finding somebody in the scramble drill. He just seems more comfortable than when it's the first 2 seconds after the ball is snapped within the structure of everything.
That made people mad.
It did, but it shouldn't.
It's kind of what Nate Tykes
was It's saying. What Nate was saying, how, yeah, those special plays when he's outside of structure, that's one of the reasons that people were so excited about it. Him, that, every time I see it, and I guess it was ESPN's top preseason play, the Roma Dunze throw is amazing. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, only special quarterbacks make that.
That's
and
right.
And they've never really been Bears quarterbacks who do.
And he might, he's probably going to make more plays like that. But you do want to see him win in structure. He only completed 50% of his passes in the preseason. There was a little bit more running than I think people might have expected. But to Caleb's credit, he was still at least looking to throw before he just said, you know what? Time's run out. I got to get up the field and score. And he did that. Don't let the way that his day ended two Saturdays or last Saturday change the way that you look at the first three drives. And there was some good in there too, but just be prepared for it. You got two guys telling you the same thing here. It's just in a different package that they told you.
And by the way, the Kyler Murray rookie season, I looked it up. That would be the, you were right, the second greatest. The record is Eric Kramer, just over 3,800.
Yes.
Kyler Murray also, you mentioned he had 48 sacks. His second year, he cut that in half.
And he still won Offensive Rookie of the Year.
And had 3,900 passing yards, which would be the Bears' record.
And I'm totally okay with that touchdown to interception ratio. It's fine for a first-year player. It's really good.
So let's bring in Jim Miller's thoughts. Because here is a former Bears quarterback who has been watching Caleb Williams closely in the preseason. And he has had unique access because he's been the Bears preseason analyst. And here's what he had to say about how Williams is going to learn and evolve.
It's one thing to be in a meeting room and you can show a guy, but sometimes guys need to physically go through it. They need to see it. They need to feel it. And it's hard to give in one, you know, in an hour and a half practice in a day, all the looks that potentially 31 other teams could give Caleb Williams. So it's, you know, that's something that's going to be built up over time. You know, and I always bring it up, if you have a quarterback that has a good rote memory, you know, say week one, you see a certain blitz, and maybe you'll see that blitz again week eight. And you already covered that blitz week one, and Caleb goes, hey, coach, I already got it. We checked to this. We gutted that blitz. I've got it down. We don't need to cover it. Let's move on to the next three or four looks that this team is going to present. So there will be carryover, and that rote memory, that's how you build your library, your Encyclopedia Britannica, where every time you step to line of scrimmage, I just pull that Britannica, that booklet out. Oh, this is Blitz Zero. This is what we do against Blitz Zero. Let me pull that volume out, and I'm about to gut this Blitz Zero.
What we saw after preseason games that Caleb played in, the two that he played in, was, I think, someone who truly understands what they're seeing, and they're able to explain it, what they're seeing. And now the next part of this is, like Jim said, like, these are the things you have to keep in mind. How do you get yourself ready for an entire league without playing against those other teams? The focus can be on Tennessee. You can just look at what they do, what their personnel is like, what their tendencies are. For the next 2 weeks, you can start doing that as you're making some of your roster decisions. But I don't...
They get to game plan too.
Of course, that's the other part of it, Dan. That's the part that we have to keep in mind. That's all. Just That's why I keep bringing up, oh, yeah, look at Bo Nix. Look at some of the throws Bo Nix has made. Everywhere where there's a rookie quarterback this season, someone is telling you that he's going to be great. Caleb's got a leg up because people have been talking about him being great for a really long time.
And frankly, he has a higher likelihood of being great. And that's why he was drafted where he was.
Correct. But that position has also given us players that were supposed to be great who weren't. And a lot of them.
And people who were great who weren't supposed to be.
So just that's why it's good to you hear Jim Miller, you hear Sean King, you hear Nate Tice. It's good to have all of those things so that you have that in your head. And when you're reacting, you're like, oh, why didn't anyone say anything? People are. You need to be okay with hearing it and receiving it. And be okay with the history of the league tells you that rookie quarterbacks struggle.
The history of the Bears tells you that their quarterbacks are all terrible.
Right.
But I'm not going to dwell on that because I don't have to.
No. But it would just know that if you get the Kyler Murray season, you should be over the moon about where things stand with your quarterback.
Pete Futek joins us. There are words that get you excited in radio, but none quite like that. He's next, talking college football on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Bernstein and Holmes.
Matt Bowen.
I was listening to you guys on the radio one afternoon.
You should be. Everybody yes. should.
First and goal. Clock winding down. That's Humphrey. It's touchdown, Montana State.
That's Humphrey. It's touchdown. I think it's Tim Brando on the calls, what it sounded like to me.
He was.
Let's talk some college football with Pete Futek now that week zero is in the books. He's a publisher and owner and editor of
operator
of collegefootballnews.com. He is on Twitter at Pete Futek, and he joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Happy football season, Few. Welcome back.
Gentlemen, how are we? How are we living?
Better than Florida State right now.
They're fine.
No, they're not.
Look.
They're not good.
They weren't good last year. Nobody believed me, and they still went 13-0 without beating anybody. And now everyone's all shocked that they, didn't come out hot in this season. Look, we have to kind of recalibrate how college football works. Yeah, it's not a good thing that they lost to Georgia Tech, obviously, but in the new expanded college football playoff era, just win the ACC championship. I know that was a conference game. But they could lose like five games, and if they somehow win the ACC championship, they're the 4 seed in the college football playoffs. So the whole idea of like, oh, they're it's over for Florida State now.
It is
week zero. It's bad game, all that kind of stuff. I still say I was going to say nuts, but it's too soon in the season. Right. It's just week zero. Thank you. You're crazy to schedule anybody good. When I become the czar of all college football, I'm going to mandate week zero, every FBS team plays an FCS team, except for Montana State if you're New Mexico. And then just get it all out of the way right away.
Look,
get your warm-up game in and go and not schedule a Georgia Tech.
I told the group chat on Saturday, I've got a rule about that too. Don't schedule any schools from Montana or the Dakotas in week one or week zero because you're going to lose.
Coach Prime. Coach Prime. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Uh-huh. He might have a problem on his hands this weekend.
They come in that Bison team. Yeah, absolutely. No, you're right. But here's the thing. Montana State is actually a national championship good FCS team. New Mexico State bad at football. So it's kind of a mix there. But yeah, if you're Florida State, I get the whole week zero thing. You want to get your team off. But I don't know why, if you're a Notre Dame, you schedule Tech. You can schedule whoever you want. Why are you scheduling Texas A&M in week one? You know, schedule a true little Sisters of the Poor or someone. Just, you don't have a preseason. Just schedule someone easy. Get it out of the way. Because that's kind of the thing where you saw it. Like, for example, if you watched it, you probably didn't. SMU and Nevada. Nevada's awful. SMU's good. Nevada's awful. But, you know, SMU, you know, kind of was able to get through the kinks through the first 3.5 quarters and over the 9 hours that these college football games take. All of a sudden, one bad muffed kickoff, and all of a sudden, everything changes. So you need those type of games so you can get those mistakes out of the way.
Is this the year coaches stop bitching about the transfer portal and transfers and how hard their jobs are? Like, at some point, whether it's Mike Gundy, it's every single coach is still ignoring the fact that this is the world you live in now. You get paid a gazillion dollars. You're allowed to leave whenever you want. Shut up and win.
Yeah, absolutely. And use the system to your own advantage. And although to a point, there is a part of me that sort of gets that if you're a coach, if you're a college coach and you're used to being lord of all you survey, you're kind of sick of every player going like, hey, I'll stay here. Can you give me more money? You know, it's like you don't want to deal with that. They have to kind of keep recruiting their own players. So there's a part of me that thinks it does have to be reined in somehow. And I do think that the big test case is going to be before they get walloped on Saturday by Georgia, Clemson, because they still adhere to the we don't have transfers here, which, you know, they need a couple. But there is something to be said for, hey, these are our guys. You don't have to look over your shoulder. Go out there and make mistakes. Go play. So we're going to see how that goes compared to all these other schools. Or else you're just Ohio State and you just say, you know what, we can't beat Michigan. We're just going to buy the right players. Now we're just going to thump everyone for the next 3 months.
That Clemson, that reminds me of the businesses who said something like, we don't use cellular phones here. Everybody comes into the office and receives their messages as taken down by their secretaries because that's the way that daddy's daddy did business. Come on, man.
Football Weekly and the Internet. I'm sorry. Cut in my throat here. I'm sorry. I'm back. I'm sick for a couple days here.
Well, we're glad that you're back, and now that we get into week one, we get into some interesting stuff. What's your favorite matchup inside of week one?
And just in terms of how this is going to matter and dictate the whole season, Texas A&M and Notre Dame, only because if Florida State really isn't all that great, then look at Notre Dame's schedule if they beat Texas A&M. What else you got? Louisville at USC at the end of the season? By that point, you know, the cake's going to be baked. There's just nothing there for Notre Dame to worry about if they can get by Texas A&M. If they win this game, they are 11-1 at worst, and they are easily – they can't get in one of the top four seeds in the college football playoffs, so they're the 5 seed. If they lose this, oh, gosh, you know, Marcus Freeman can't coach. Oh, this is all awful. And they're just going to rip through everyone else until they get to USC. If Texas A&M wins, look at their schedule. Because, yeah, in the new expanded world of all these bigger conferences, you do have, you know, someone's got to play Alabama, and now someone's got to play Texas. And then you have other teams like Texas A&M who miss everybody. There's so many teams you got to play. Someone's got to play Vanderbilt and Mississippi State, too. And Texas A&M, they start with Notre Dame and with Texas, both home games. And in the middle are a whole bunch of winnable games. So if Texas A&M wins this game, you're like, they're going to be 10-2 and like the 10th seed in this whole thing when it's all said and done.
When you start looking at the SEC, what stands out to you?
We're killing time. It's Georgia. It's what stands out to me is Georgia's really awesome. Alabama's still good, and hell's come to breakfast for Texas. I mean, welcome to the show, son. I mean, we all kind of lost sight that last year Texas needed everything to get by TCU and Kansas State, and they had they beat Alabama, but they weren't always great. You can get away with that in the Big 12. It ain't happening in the SEC. So I think all these teams from the Pac-12 and now Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC, it's going to be a different animal where you got away with some stuff before. You're not Oregon, Washington's, rebuilding. Texas. They're not going to be able to get away with that in these bigger leagues. So Georgia's just that much better than everyone else. But I think Alabama's almost being undervalued because they're still really good and they still got a really good head coach. And they're going to be right there in the mix too. And then everyone else, you know, Ole Miss, everyone kind of assumes Ole Miss is good at football always, but they're just not. I mean, it's just an awful program in terms of on-field production. And Lane Kiffin's doing a great job. Let's see what they do with this thing. So there are only so many spots in this expanded college football playoff thing, and everyone in the SEC is thinking they're getting in it. There's only going to be about four teams coming from this conference getting in. So someone's going to have to be left out of this mix.
We brought up Colorado earlier. Sorry to leisure you. We brought up Colorado earlier. What's it look like for them on a season overview for them? Because I do think that they could lose this game Saturday.
Look at the schedule and find me the win. I mean, like, they're going to beat Cincinnati maybe. They're going to win four or five games. But if this was, you know, Coach Holmes, you know, taking over the job and not Coach Prime and all the stuff that went around with it, you'd look at last year's Colorado team and say, that's a success. They were awful for years. I think they went 1-11 2 years ago and needed a complete rebuild. And what happens? Deion comes in. You win four games. You have an exciting team. You come up with some nice wins. Couple of real close losses that could have gone the other way. And you say, you know, that's the next step in the progression from a program that was a zero and you got it off the ground. Instead, it's like, oh, no, they didn't win the national championship. Coach Prime's a failure, you know, and he obviously handles criticism well. And now you're going forward. You'd say, okay, now this year, new conference, win six games, get to a bowl game, and just kind of get everything in place. The problem is that Colorado – team is all frosting and no cake. You can't just win with the transfer portal. You got to get the guys on the lines. You got to build up for years of, you know, get the 200-pound kid out of high school and turn him into a 325-pound defensive tackle. You need those guys, and they just don't have it. And like I said, I think the story's fun, despite Coach Prime being, you know, Coach Prime. It would be great if Colorado was good, but like we kind of joked it, they could lose to North Dakota State to start the season and keep going. Where are they winning? Where are those wins going to come from? Because every single game is 50-50 at absolute best on their schedule.
As a Heisman voter, I always like it at this time of year when I ask you how I should set up my radar screen. But guys, I should
Jalen Milroe.
Okay, that's Lawrence's guy, but apparently Dylan Gabriel at Oregon is the early favorite.
Why not crazy the stats in the college football world? Dylan Gabriel's going to end the season as the NCAA's all-time leading passer because he was in college for 19 years. And so he's going to be good. He's going to have the high-profile games. He gets Ohio State at home, and if he rocks that game, he'll be right there. I just don't think Oregon's going to – Oregon hasn't won a really good game in a while until they beat Ohio State like 3 years ago. But if you kind of look, they had two jobs last year, beat Washington and then beat Washington again, and they failed at both of them. And they beat a whole lot of teams in the middle there. There's a lot of hype, but this team's okay. They're 9-3-ish more than being like maybe a top five team that's going to crush everyone. But Jalen Milroe, I couldn't make this argument hard enough last year, and I lost because everyone fell for the shiny object. Jalen Milroe was the best player in college football last year. He had the player of the year with the win with the throw against Auburn to get Alabama into the college football playoff mix. He had the best performance of the year and then the win over Georgia, which got him in and kicked out Florida State and Georgia. He outplayed Jaden Daniels in the game against LSU, had the rough start, and now he's with an offense that likes to throw the ball a lot. Remember what Kalen DeBoer did? He took Jake Haener and Fresno State, they got that passing game going, and all of a sudden Michael Penix became awesome, and Washington destroyed everyone through the air in 2 years there. Now he's at Alabama. It's going to be airtight, and now Milroe is going to be one of those deep ball passers that just keeps bombing and bombing and bombing away. And again, Alabama is going to be good. So good player, good team, lots and lots of stats. It's him and then Dylan Gabriel, okay, but then everyone else.
To kind of bolster the point about Dylan Gabriel, you know who like caught an interception off of Dylan Gabriel?
It's probably something crazy like DeRon Cherry or something like that, right? It's like someone who's like
Jalen Johnson? Sauce Gardner.
Nice. Yeah, it's one of those things.
Who's starting his third year in the NFL.
That's wild.
I'm sure Dylan Gabriel could absolutely fun set. Michael Penix Jr. I think those two are probably older than like everyone in the every quarterback, but you know, Baker Mayfield, I think, in the NFL, something like that. But he's been around for, he's good. And he's going to put up some big stats in this offense. He'll be Bo Nix. And he's a very, very good player.
Let's stay in the Big Ten for a second then, Pete. And I guess Oregon is probably going to be one of the top two or three teams in that league. How do you see it breaking down?
We're killing time. Ohio State. I mean, look, this whole season's Georgia and Ohio State. There's nobody else. They're so much better than everyone. I mean, the NFL draft this year did not have a lot of Buckeyes and Bulldogs. That's because they're all back. And so not only did it kind of got lost last year that Ohio State had the puck on its stick with a chance to beat Michigan. They were driving to win that game. And then Kyle McCord got picked off late. They win that. They are the one seed in the college football playoff. And now they get just about everyone back defensively. And they add the best player in college football in Caleb Downs to a defense that wasn't giving up 13 points a game last year as it is. This defense is not going to give up a thing. It's going to be a whole world of ugly with this Buckeye team. And look at its schedule. All these Buckeye fans who last year are like, oh, Michigan's not playing anybody. Ohio State plays nobody non-conference. They have the easiest slate. They're going to outscore. I'm not joking here. They're going to outscore their first three games like 200-5. I mean, they're just going to rip through this thing. They might lose at Oregon on the wrong day. They might drop a game here or there. They might even lose to Michigan at the end, but they're not losing twice. They are the one or two seed in the college football playoff. And as long as all these guys don't get cases of NFL-itis in late December, early January, because this thing's going to go so long, Ohio State and Georgia, those two are just going to rip through everybody.
All right, one last thing from me, Pete. For the first time in my life, in adult life, I have what amounts to a college football rooting interest.
Wow.
So now
you didn't like Steve Spurrier at Duke when you were there?
Oh, it was fun. That's just a little thing that people do if they're not sleeping. And even
they had a big year. Did they win an ACC championship when you were there?
Two bowl games. Two bowl games. Okay. There was an All-American Bowl and then a something bowl. I forgot. But Tulane now has a new coach in John Sumrall, who had led Troy for a long time. And there are some who believe that the performance the last couple of years should be sustained there, if not improved upon. How good is the Green Wave?
They're renting him. Sumrall's really good. He's a really good defensive coach. Tulane's going to be strong right away. And, you know, with the transfer portal and with all the losses in the to expansion over the last year, the American Athletic Conference, you lose UCF, you lose Houston, you lose Cincinnati, and now they, you know, SMU's paying to play in the ACC. So there's nothing else there except Memphis. Memphis is really good, and that's about it. But the difference between the Group of Five programs and the Power Four are now 10 miles further wide. I mean, there's just nothing. But Tulane's good enough where if they can get by Memphis, win the AAC championship, they're the 12th seed and they lose to Notre Dame in the first round in South Bend in the college football playoff. But yeah, they're gonna still be very, very good.
Okay. Roll Wave.
Pete, are you going to try and see an Oregon State or Washington State game this year?
They're going to be plucky and fun. I will actually, because I'm kind of a Mountain West aficionado with my own rooting interests. So they do play a lot of those late night games, which will be kind of interesting because they're caucusing with that conference since no one else wants them. But they'll still be okay. Oregon State's going to be okay, even though they got gutted and everyone left for Michigan State. Washington State's going to be all right. But they're just lost little lambs in here. But they do have bowl games carved out for them. If they somehow get to 6 wins, and everyone's going to kind of feel sorry for them. I don't know why they're not Big 12 teams. They kind of should be. But this year is going to be kind of a weird one for them because they don't want to be Mountain West programs, but they really are. And let's see what they can do in true rebuild seasons.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a perfect fit.
Except you don't want to go from you know movies to TV. You know, if you've been in a Power Five conference, and you don't want to go back and. You know, and then there's the money disparity where I think, you know, these Mountain West teams are only getting like $6 million a year compared to like the $100 million the Big Ten teams are getting. So it's like it's a real step back. It's a little bit better to be your own thing. And I think they're just waiting. At some point, the Big 12 might take them, but just they should. They should just get back in the Pacific Northwest and get those parts of the college football landscape. But for now, yeah, they're true independents, even though they are kind of playing all these Mountain West teams.
Pete Futek, looking forward to another fun college football season with you. Thank you.
Later, guys.
There goes Pete Futek. We've got High Noon next. I'd like to investigate. There's something that was said about a recent high-profile shipwreck where I'm mindful of the line, you keep using that word, I do not think it means what you think it means.
Scary moments for an NFL team. Next.
You're listening to Bernstein and Holmes. Middays 10 to 2 on 670 The Score.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High Noon?
All right, time for High Noon. Got very football-y up in here early as we brought back our interview with Matt Eberflus. We react a little bit to the divergent fortunes of the baseball teams, although not divergent enough. And we did a what Caleb whip around. We heard Nate Tice say something about what Caleb needs to work on, and then we heard Sean King say something very, very similar, just more of a punch to the face in his version of it. And we heard what Jim Miller had to say. Also, Pete Futek gave us a rundown of Week 0 and a setup of the college football season.
It's High Noon.
This from CBS Sports. Both sides in the Los Angeles Chargers-Dallas Cowboys preseason finale on Saturday in Texas went through quite an ordeal to wrap up their prospective preseasons. On Monday, a Cowboys players' hotel room caught on fire at a training camp in Oxnard, California. On Friday evening, around 7:30, several Chargers players and personnel, including quarterback Justin Herbert, were trapped in an elevator at the team's hotel, the Westin in downtown Dallas, per WFAA, which is like right down the street from there. Los Angeles released a statement announcing everyone trapped in the elevator was successfully rescued one by one by the Dallas Fire and Rescue. Quote, at approximately 7:30 p.m. Central Friday evening, several players and members of the Chargers traveling party were stranded in an inoperable elevator at the team hotel. The Chargers said in a statement, they went on to say in that statement, Dallas Fire and Rescue responded to the incident and subsequently assisted everyone from the elevator one by one through its ceiling panel and into an adjacent elevator. The Los Angeles Chargers thank Dallas Fire and Rescue for their quick response, professionalism, and substantial efforts in ensuring everyone's safety.
They added Dr. Lecter is still at large and might have stolen an ambulance.
It's very possible that that is the case. Jim Harbaugh said that Justin Herbert showed incredible leadership inside of the elevator.
I'm
keeping
sure
everyone calm.
And Mark Trestman grew the man.
Grow the man.
I had heard about the sinking of the Bayesian yacht. It was off of the coast of Sicily. And I saw the headlines and I saw the story about this gazillionaire who was like the British Bill Gates. And a handful of people on board, all but seven of the 22 people got to a life raft. And the others never made it out. The captain made it out. The captain's in some trouble right now. Because apparently they believe there were a chain of events of mistakes made.
I'm the captain now.
That allowed this yacht to sink. When all others in the area had heard about the weather that was moving in with microbursts and whatever the downspout, and they got their boats out of there. They stayed. And they said there was a keel that was supposed to have been dropped down that they didn't do, so they didn't have any balance in the water. There were all, and there will be inquests like the Titanic to try to figure out what happened here. But this is my favorite part of this. Because when they start saying, the captain says, the only comment from the captain was, we didn't see it coming. And the problem was, everybody else did. Everybody else in the area, all the veteran sailors, all the fishermen, everybody else saw it coming and knew it was coming. And they're saying they didn't. And there are experts who understand that there are just certain protocols that may not have been followed that got them to this point. And this had been referred to as an unsinkable ship.
Oh.
Because of how it was built.
I mean, we should probably stop saying that about ships. Because wasn't that the Titanic's like claim to fame too?
Yes. And the unsinkable Molly Brown. But that was supposed to be the idea. And a lot of the experts don't understand why it remained in the water. Now, here's my favorite part. The head of the company that built the Bayesian is Giovanni Costantino. And he said, if water hadn't surged in, it was unsinkable.
Oh, my God.
Now,
no way. No way.
He said, if water hadn't surged in, it was unsinkable. Now, I'm thinking, yeah, like that's what sinking is. It's sort of like saying, well, the building would have been completely fireproof until it had been engulfed in flames.
It's kind of like saying the same thing about the Titanic.
But if it was unsinkable, he's saying, no, we're right. It was unsinkable. If the water hadn't have surged in, see, that's sinking.
Right.
That's what causes all boats. The cause of all boats that have sunk, whether it was a Kamikaze Zero or a U-boat torpedo or an iceberg, whatever it is.
Pedo?
The sinking.
Will he get a ring if the Astros win?
The sinking is the surging in of the water that causes the boat to go down. And so this is a really interesting way of saying, he said the Bayesian was a model for many other vessels because of its stability and exceptionally high performance. There was absolutely no problem with it. If water hadn't surged in, it was unsinkable. Got it. I'll write that down.
Hold on, I want to write that.
Is it unsinkable? Well, yeah, as long as water doesn't surge in. Okay. Water. Well, is it going to be in the ocean?
Sinkable.
Yeah, it might be in the ocean.
My house is completely tornado-proof unless it gets hit by a tornado.
Right, that's right.
Right, unless a highly concentrated vortex of wind hits it.
Otherwise, completely tornado-proof.
Yeah, sure. What are you even talking about? That is High Noon. We do it every day around this time. It's pretty great. We're going to get back to being football-y. We got to ask Sam Munson about what he thinks these deals that the Bears have made over the last 72 hours mean. Because it doesn't feel very good.
Or he'll set our minds at ease and say, don't worry about it.
Or, yeah, he could say, hey, the trades that they made end up being really good, and now they'll be able to get after the passer better. That's next here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.